Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
If you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 10. We are starting a new series. Actually, we started it kind of incognito last Sunday. If you didn't catch that, the theme of the month is that we will be spirit driven. And so we started this month off with the conference on the Holy Spirit this past week. Thank you for everyone who came out. We just continue to hear the good news of what God did in your lives and the lives of our church this week. But this year, we're studying, if you're new to our church, we're studying this year about the core values of our church. In other words, what is it about us as a people of God that makes us the people of God? What is it about the assembly that makes us the assembly? And we're studying our eight core values, and it's taken up most of the year. We'll take a break or two, a few months. The month of May, for instance, we'll take a break from core values. But we're really studying this year. And one of our core values is that we will be spirit-driven. How many know that we're all driven by something? Right? We're all driven by something. Some of us are driven by success, which that's not a horrible thing, right? Better be driven by success than driven by failure, right? Some people are driven by money, whatever it takes to get another dollar. And I've discovered that being driven by money isn't something that's reserved for wealthy people. Did you know that? You can be greedy with a little bit, or you can be greedy with a whole lot. It's not about a state of your affairs. It's about a state of the heart. Some people are financially driven. Some people are acceptance driven. You ever met someone that all they wanted to do was please other people, no matter how impossible that is? Have you all discovered that it's impossible to please everybody all the time? If you haven't discovered that, listen, let me just give you a word of freedom today. You're not going to make everyone happy all the time. Just give up on it. You'll find great freedom when you understand that my real job in life isn't to please people, it's to please God. Some people are acceptance driven. Some people are comfort driven. Whatever it takes to be comfortable. You know, I read a study a few weeks ago that said one of the attributes of our society as Americans is we do whatever it takes to try to be comfortable. And people are discovering that comfort often is devoid of purpose. Sometimes we can have all the comfort in the world, but we have no purpose in life. We're just, you know, a couch potato waiting to be baked. We're just sitting there. But there is some purpose, and there is some promise, and there is some power to those of us who will receive the call to not be driven by all these other things, which, you know, those things aren't evil themselves, but to be driven by the Spirit of God. We're all driven by something. Now, let me ask you, how many of you had a little bit of a hard time waking up this morning? Okay, either this is like the early bird service that all of you are morning people, or you're too tired to even lift your hand. I'm not sure which one it is. I don't have any market research on this, but I just believe that energy drinks, the sales of energy drinks probably spiked today. I know I've already had an extra cup of coffee that I normally do at this time in the morning. Because here's the thing as a culture, the very presence of something like a energy drink, or the fact that you can buy a double shot espresso or a triple shot espresso or whatever, is an indication that we as a culture and the people, we understand we need something to help us get through the day. But I want to tell you today that you don't have to live dependent on stimulants and other outside influences. The Spirit of God inside of you can drive you to live an abundant life today. Amen? So I want to talk to you about how can we be Spirit-driven, not just driven by external things, but how can we allow the Spirit of God to drive us from the inside out? And Jesus teaches us how in Luke chapter 10. The Bible says, now the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns he planned to visit. That phrase is pretty important this morning, he planned to visit. And these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. That's also an important phrase. And ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Let me take a time out. If you haven't picked up, if you didn't go to the other side of the building today to pick up your or drop off your kids for Children's Church, our Children's Church started today a fundraiser for missions. What they're actually trying to do is they're trying to provide shoes for kids. I believe it's in Honduras this fall when school starts back down there. And so if you go to that side of the building, or if you don't ever go to that side of the building, I think it's, Kelly, is it $2.50 that you can buy a pair of shoes for a kid down there? Does that sound right? Maybe it's $5. Either way, how many of you know that's cheap for a pair of shoes, right? That's cheap for a pair of shoes. So if you would like to help out our kids this month and their BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, you can give $5 anytime you want to, mark at BGMC, and I'll help them buy a pair of shoes. When I was reading that, he said, don't take even an extra pair of sandals. There you go. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. And whenever he enters someone's house, first say, may God's peace be upon the house. And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. So Jesus gave 72 disciples. We don't know their names. We don't know where they came from. He appointed these 72 guys and said, now go out and do this. You may be wondering, well, Pastor, how do we know that they were driven by the Spirit? And let me give you my definition of what it means to be driven by the Spirit. If you are driven by the Spirit, you will operate in the power of God even when you're away from the person of Jesus. That's my New Testament definition. How do we know these guys were Spirit-driven? They left the physical presence of Jesus, but they still operated in the presence of Jesus. When you and I leave the house of God on Sunday mornings, we should still operate in the power of God Monday through Friday. Amen? His power, His Spirit is not relegated to just these four walls, nor should it ever be. I'm kind of getting on a soapbox this morning, but the day that we think being Spirit-driven has only to do with a church service, we have missed the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? I want to tell you today that the church of God, I'm going to mess you up, but listen to this. The church house should be the last place the Spirit of God is made manifest. No, you may say, wait, Pastor. You saying you don't want the Spirit of God to manifest when His people are together? Absolutely. But if this is the only place the Spirit of God is manifest, then we have missed the purpose of God's Spirit in our lives. Amen? Listen, we got to be Spirit-driven not because we need His Spirit in here alone. We got to be Spirit-driven because the world out there needs us to be Spirit-driven. Amen? Our families need us to be Spirit-driven. Our schools need us to be Spirit-driven. Your business needs you to be Spirit-driven. Every person you come in contact with, they need you to be Spirit-driven. So we say, yes, Spirit of God, we need you flowing in our services, but more than that, we need Him flowing in our lives outside this door. So how do we know that these 72 guys left the presence of Jesus, but yet still operated in the power of Jesus? We know that happened because in verse number 17, the Bible says, when those 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to Him, meaning Jesus, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use Your name. How many know that doesn't happen when we operate in our own power? That happens when we operate in His power. So let's pray together. Father, help us lead Spirit-driven lives. Help us to be people that are not just driven by the external factors of the world we live in, but help us be driven by You. Let us be driven by Your Spirit. Let us make decisions that are based on what You want to do in us and through us. And we'll give You thanks for that. So Lord, help me today to preach not in my ability, but in Your ability. Help us to hear not with our physical ears only, but also with the eyes. Let us see with the eyes of the Spirit. Hear with our hearts tuned towards You. And we'll rejoice in what the Spirit says to us. And we'll give You thanks for that. And everybody said amen. Amen. So how can we live lives that are driven by the Spirit? The key phrase I want to get to you this morning is a phrase you've heard before. I believe this phrase is key to being driven by the Spirit. It's a phrase that Jesus said not just one time, but multiple times. Here's what Jesus said. He said, the harvest is great, but what? The workers are few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. My sermon this morning is simply this, that the Spirit drives us into service for God's kingdom, or the Spirit of God always drives us in work for Him. I read this phrase, Jesus said it over and over again, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I begin to ask myself this question, why are the workers few? Let me ask you this question. In 2019, do you believe that the harvest is greater or the workers are greater today? The harvest is greater, right? There is still a greater harvest, even in Cabot, Arkansas. I know some people think that, man, it feels like we got a church on every corner. But I can tell you that there are more enough lost people in Cabot, Arkansas to fill up every church in town multitudes of times over. The harvest is still great, and the workers are still few. So we got to be asking the Lord, God, send workers into the harvest field. The Spirit of God is always going to drive us towards serving Him and His kingdom purpose. And the Lord's been asking us to pray this prayer, not just for a few years, but for generations now. So why are the workers still outnumbered by the harvest? I want to give you a few reasons. Number one, the reason the workers are so few is that many people just don't see the need. What does it mean by being driven by the Spirit? The Spirit is going to drive us to see needs that we don't see right now. I believe, how many would you say it's easy to get distracted during your day? It's easy to get so distracted on physical things, on tangible things. It's easy to get so distracted on non-spiritual things that you miss on the opportunities that God has for you today. Even as the disciple of Jesus, if you were physically, if you were one of Jesus' 12 disciples that were following Him, it would be easy to be so impressed by what Jesus was doing that you missed why He was doing it. Right? It'd be so easy to see Him opening blind eyes and preaching the Sermon on the Mount that amazed everyone, and seeing Him raise dead people back to life and opening deaf ears and healing lame people. It would be so amazing to be able to see Him multiply a few fish and loaves to feed thousands of people, that you're just walking around in awe of what Jesus is doing, but you missed what Jesus was doing. What was Jesus doing? The Bible says He came to seek and save that which was lost. And apparently that's what was happening, because Jesus constantly had to remind even His disciples to lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. They're white unto harvest. I'm just saying it's easy for the workers to be few because we're just so inundated and distracted by things. And some of those are good things. Second reason why the workers are few is that many people simply don't feel equipped. Have you ever felt ill-equipped to do something for God? I hope so. If you've never felt ill-equipped to do something for God, that simply means one thing. You've never asked God, what can I do for you? Because the moment you ask God, Lord, what is something I can do for you? In that moment, you'll understand that the harvest is not just great in number. The harvest is great in the need that it takes or the power that's required to meet that need. Some people feel ill-equipped. And if you feel ill-equipped, you are in fantastic company. Moses said, Lord, I can't speak to Pharaoh. I get my tangle all tongued up. I got a peach instead of it. I got all these things, right? Sometimes the workers are few because we feel like it's someone else's job to reach the lost. It's the pastor's job. It's the missionary's job. It's the staff pastor's job. It's the people who are externally focused. It's the extroverts instead of the introvert like me, who's responsible to share the good news and to share the love of Jesus with someone. Here's another reason I believe the workers are few today. It's because there's many of us who have said things like this. I've tried to do something for God before and failed. But I believe, if we'll be honest, many of us that would say that, and I would say that too, I've tried to do something for God before and I failed. But if I'll be honest, it's because I tried to do something for God before in my own power instead of His power. I was Greg-driven instead of God-driven. I was driven to please somebody instead of pleasing the someone. Listen, another reason the workers are few is because we feel like God has called us to be successful. Now, what if I'm not successful in people's eyes? Can I tell you this morning, I told the men that in men's prayer this morning, God has not called you to be successful. He's called you to be faithful. Amen? In other words, there may be times when everyone who's looking at your life may say, you know what, Brother Mike, you are failing to do something significant. But if you're doing what God's called you to do, He calls that faithfulness and success in His eyes. Amen? It's not a matter of do I please everybody. The question is, am I being faithful to what God put in my hands? But the workers are few because some people think the only way I can judge success is what the world says is successful. Let me ask you, what does God say is successful? He calls it faithfulness. Jesus said the harvest is great, but the workers are few because we lose our sense of urgency. I'll talk more about this next week. He said, don't greet anyone along the way. He wasn't telling the disciples to be rude. He was telling them, understand there's an urgency about what I'm telling you to do. Here's the last reason we got to be spirit-driven. The harvest is great, the workers are few. Sometimes because we don't know where to start. The need is so great, where do I start doing something for God? And this is why we got to be spirit-driven. Because the Spirit will tell us where to start. And it doesn't start with a position necessarily. It doesn't start with someone asking you to do something necessarily. It starts when you're walking through your 9-to-5 job or when you're doing whatever it is you do. It starts when you awaken to an opportunity to speak life into someone and you take that opportunity. When you serve where God tells you to serve. And our involvement in the mission is directly tied to us being spirit-driven. Now, I've been trying to be good about this, but how many know that if you have something like a lawnmower or an outboard motor or a weed eater, if you have a piece of equipment that you're not going to use for the next 6 months because it's out of season, how many know that one of the main things you're supposed to do with that piece of equipment is what? Drain the gas out of it. Right? You drain the fuel because if you leave the fuel in it, what's going to happen? It's going to gel up. It's going to clog the carburetor if it's got one of those. It's going to mess up what's in there. And you shouldn't pour new gas in it in October because you're going to ruin the fuel you put it in as well. Why would the Lord want to fill us if all we're going to do is sit on the shelf? He fills us for His purposes. Do I love the way that His filling makes me feel? Absolutely. But friends, it's not about the filling. It's not about how I feel. He fills us for His purpose. And if we want the filling of the Holy Spirit constant in our lives, then friends, we got to allow our lives to be spirit-driven. So I want to talk to you this morning about how to do that. That was my introduction. I'm sorry it took you 35 minutes to get through it. But here we go. I promise I'll let you be done before lunch. Because my iPad hasn't been reset yet, so I'm in a good place to do that. Here we go. Awaken. What's the key to living a spirit-driven life? I think Jesus gives us a few keys here. The first one is we have to awaken to the presence of the harvest. That's sort of what I just talked about. We got to become keenly aware of the need around us. You know, I remember when I was in high school. I took this driver's ed class, and our instructor told us about this thing called tunnel vision. And he said, the tireder you get, the more your vision goes from being including your peripheral, to you just get so tired and so focused that when you're driving, you just see right in front of you, that you don't see what's going on. And here's what I've discovered as believers today. How many would confess it's very easy to get tunnel vision where all you see is right in front of you, and you miss what's all around you? Sometimes we miss the fact that we're surrounded by people that need to know the power of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus appointed 72 other disciples to follow Him and to go out to be spirit-driven that day. Have you ever asked yourself, why 72? There was more than 70. Were there only 72 people there? Why not 48? Why not 84? Why not 117? Why did why didn't he just pick 72 people? Well, most scholars believe the reason he picked 72 people is because at that time there were 72 known nations in the world. Even in the number of people that Jesus picked, he was declaring that my heart is for everybody. My spirit is for everybody. I'm driving you not just to reach these places you're going to go today, but I am calling you to reach every people on planet Earth. I want to challenge you today, don't write off the place that God has planted you. Jesus said, you know the saying, 4 months of planting and then the harvest. But he says, I challenge you to wake up and look around, for the fields are already white unto harvest. And Jesus said this other phrase in Luke 10. He said, I'm sending you to all the places that I intend to go. There's two parts of that kind of speaks to me. Number one, it scares me to go to a place where Jesus hasn't gone yet. Have you ever felt like you've gone to a place where Jesus hasn't gone yet? I remember when I was a student, there were times when I walked into the classroom and I thought, Lord, I don't think you've ever been here. I don't see any evidence. Maybe you go to a job tomorrow. You say, hey, I'm not really sure that God's ever been here. I'm not sure these people have ever heard the name of Jesus. I'm not sure they have a clue who he is or what he wants to do for their lives. I understand that. I understand that fear. But here's the good news. Is Jesus said, I am sending you to every place I want to go. So that also means tomorrow when you wake up and go to the place of your business, your employment, the place of your day, no matter whether it's down the street or around the world, that's the place Jesus wants to go. And he wants to make his introduction to that place through you. Which means I've got to be spirit driven because I want to introduce them to Jesus and not to me. We've got to be spirit driven to do that. Understand, he says, I'm sending you to the place that I want to go. Here's the second thing Jesus said, if you want to be spirit driven, is you got to pray for God to use you in his work. Jesus said the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers. And then he tells them, now go. Does it seem to you like maybe Jesus is being sneaky? He says for them to pray that God will send harvesters to the harvest field, and then the guys he said to pray that God will send someone, he turns right around and says, now you go. I mean, did they know that when Jesus told them to pray that God would send harvest workers into the field, did they realize that this is actually Jesus is working, that he's not just telling them to pray for someone else to go, he's telling them to pray because I'm about to send you. Let me tell you something about praying for God to do something. We can never really pray in earnest for Jesus to do something if we're not willing to be part of what Jesus wants to do. See, when Jesus didn't say, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send harvest workers, he didn't tell them to pray that, trying to get them to talk God into sending someone out. He told them to pray that so that they could get through their heads and through their minds and through their heart that they are the ones that God is wanting to send. Why are the workers so few and the harvest so great? Because there's too many believers in the world today that believe Jesus for salvation, but they never believe him to use them. So we got to pray, Lord, send workers to the harvest field, even if that means me. See, praying the prayer is not about us changing the heart of God. Us praying that prayer is about us allowing God to change our heart for his mission. That's what it means to be spirit driven. And then the Lord says this phrase, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Would you say that phrase with me? The Lord of the harvest. Who's in charge of the harvest? The Lord is. And when we pray to him that he would send harvest workers, what we're doing is we're aligning our heart with his heart. He says, pray to the Lord that he would send harvest workers. And that takes a big load off me, because sometimes I feel like when I say, God, use me, that all of a sudden puts all the responsibility of what God wants to do on me. But I don't know if this is a newsflash to you or not, but I'm not the Lord of the harvest. and neither are you. He's the Lord of the harvest. But if we'll pray to the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest will use you. He will let his Spirit drive you to do things that you thought were impossible and touch people that others have written off that said they're too far gone. If you will, here's point three. Part of being Spirit-led, Spirit-driven is you got to realize that you are appointed. You are an appointed messenger for Jesus. Now remember, go. I am sending you. I want to say that again. I am sending you. From this side of the area to this side of the area. God is saying, I am sending you. And the word that Jesus uses there is a pretty unique word. It means, it's pronounced balo in the original language. It simply means to cast or to throw. The same word is used when Jesus calls the first disciples, when he sees them out fishing, and he says, hey, balo. He says, throw your nets on the other side of the boat for a great catch. It's that casting of a net that Jesus is saying, cast that net, and God, I'm gonna use you to bring in a great harvest. And the Lord is using that same word. I am sending you, I am casting you into the world. And if you let me throw you into the world, I can use you to bring in a great harvest. God wants to use you to bring in a great harvest. I'm casting you, the Lord says, I'm sending you, I'm throwing you into the world that you can be used to bring a great catch for the kingdom. These disciples Jesus threw into the world, they weren't anything extraordinary. I mean, we don't even know their names. They weren't chosen by their unique qualifications. They weren't more educated or more capable than anyone. They just prayed. And they allowed the Lord to send them. And they realized that when Jesus said, I'm appointing you, they understood that you meant you. It meant us. And Jesus said it even stronger in John chapter 20, verse 21. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Let me just break that down for you. Do you realize what Jesus is saying? Is that as strategic as his life was here on earth, that's how strategic your life is here on earth. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, I am sending you. So we got to be driven by something other than our own desires. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of the Father who sent me. He was driven by the Spirit. So understand, you are appointed for God. Fourth this morning, if we're going to be Spirit-driven, we got to celebrate what Jesus celebrates. Megan, if you want to come. It's been said that what we celebrate gets repeated. So if you want your kid to clean their room, you should, make a big deal, celebrate when they clean their room, because it makes it more likely they'll do it again. And sometimes, like these disciples went out driven by the Spirit, and they came back, and the Bible says they rejoiced. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to our name. Lord, this is awesome. People have been set free. They've been healed. They've been delivered. Lord, even the demons were subject to you, to us in your name. Lord, this is awesome. And Jesus says, don't celebrate that. He said, celebrate that your names are written in the book of life. He's saying, celebrate salvation. Jesus said more than once, there's another chapter, we call it I call it the lost chapter. It speaks about a man who lost a sheep, and he left 99 sheep, Jesus was telling the parables, and he went out for the one. And the Bible says he rejoiced more about finding the one than he did about the 99 that stayed in the sheep pen. It talks about a lady who lost a coin and swept her house. And then she rejoiced over finding the lost coin. And of course, the next one was the story of the prodigal son, where the father rejoiced over the one son that came back home. And in those three parables, Jesus ends those first two parables with this statement. So it is in heaven. That heaven celebrates when one lost son or daughter comes. comes home. Jesus challenges us to celebrate what he celebrates. Some of you say, Pastor, how can I know I'm supposed to live a spirit-driven life, but how do I move from celebrate, how do I move from being driven by all these other things to being driven by his spirit? Here's one way. Choose to celebrate what God celebrates. You know, when we hold up one of these things, one of these $1,000 pledges, we celebrate that because we know there are some physical things here at this house we want to see. But you know, we always also celebrate because we know that half of this doesn't just represent us ministering to people better here, but half of this is sending it to places that are going to preach the gospel where the gospel's never been preached. It's rejoicing that someone's going to hear the name Jesus for the first time. Some of it is rejoicing that when you're driven by the Spirit and you share that expression of love to someone, whether it's an encouraging word or an act of service on your job or at your school or wherever, that Jesus was just made manifest. Jesus just showed up in their lives, whether you notice it or not. You got to celebrate that. I got a phone call. I got 6 more minutes. I can relax now. Got a phone call a few months ago. Stella and I were at a city park in Camden about a year and a half ago. We're at a park and this single mom and her kids showed up, and I was pushing Stella on a swing and she was pushing her little girl on a swing, and we began to talk, and I tried my best not to tell her I was a preacher, because once you say that, then people get weird on you. They run away or they start lying about, well, I said I was at the bar last night, but I actually meant I was at a Christian. You know, they start changing stuff up. So I was trying to hide my identity for as long as I could. But anyway, eventually, so what do you do? And so, you know, I told her a little bit, and then so that opened up a whole new conversation. Long story short, I finally got to invite her to church, and I still keep, by the way, an invite card. If you're not doing this today, you're serious about allowing the Lord to speak to you on your way out today, stop by the Connect Center and pick up one of our invite cards, because I've discovered if I'll just keep that card in my pocket and on my dashboard and in my golf bag and in our baby stroller, which I keep one of those in all those places, you never know when your ordinary day is going to be a sent moment. I begin to share that with that young girl, that young mom, just the love of Jesus and how she would always be accepted at a church. And I gave her that card and I went home and went back to preach the next Sunday. And that, I love to tell you, that girl walked in the front door. She gave her life to Jesus. She's never been the same. I can't tell you that. I gave her the card. I felt like I did what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And I preached that Sunday. Nothing happened. Didn't see her. A few months went by. I saw a lady in a restaurant. She said, "Hey, don't you pastor that church?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You know what? You don't know this, but you know," and I knew this lady. She'd been waiting on us at this restaurant for years. She says, "You know, that was my daughter who you invited to church and encouraged that day. I just want to say thank you. We've been praying for her for a long time." Just God adding fruit. But what's even better is about 6 months ago, the children's pastor from church in Camden called me and said, "Hey, Pastor, do you remember about a year and a half ago you were at the park with Stella and you invited some girl to church?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that." She goes, She came today. Y'all been gone for a year. I'm just saying, living the spirit-driven life, it may or may not wow you about the opportunities God gives you tomorrow. But if you will take those opportunities that God gives you every day, it will wow you what God does through your simple faithfulness over a month, over a year, and over a lifetime. There's no better way to live your life than living the Spirit-driven life.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.